Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's study session for the Mesa City Council for Thursday, August 22nd, 2013. First item on the agenda is to review the agenda for next Monday's regular council meeting. Page 2, items 2 through 4A. Items 4B through 4D. Items 4E and 4F. Items 4G and 4H. Items 4I and 4J. Items 4K and 4L. Items 4M through 5A. Items 5B through 8A. Items 8B through 9B. And items 9C and 9D. Okay. Next item is to hear a presentation discuss upcoming city benefits plan. Mr. Manning.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. With me today is Jan Ashley, our benefits administrator. And as we have done in prior years, we wanted to share with you and give you an update on an annual update on the employee benefits program, as well as any anticipated changes that we see for 2014. Just as a reminder, the city does provide health insurance in terms of medical, dental, and vision to our employees, retirees, and dependents, as well as group term life insurance in terms of medical, dental, and vision. Those benefits are primarily funded through city contributions, employee and retiree contributions, some funding we receive from the Arizona State Retirement System, and of course some trust fund investments. As you are aware, healthcare reform has been a hot topic for us for the last several years, and we wanted to share with you that as certain phases of that law come into effect, there will be a couple of components that will impact us in 2014. We don't anticipate it to be rather significant, but we do certainly wanted to alert you about what those components are. For example, the way we calculate our out-of-pocket maximums will change. So, for example, today, the only cost that an employee pays that counts towards that out-of-pocket maximum is what they pay in coinsurance. In 2014, it will also need to require copays and deductibles. So that will be a change in the way we calculate when an employee actually reaches that out-of-pocket maximum threshold. On the flip side of the coin, we do have some annual dollar limits on some of the services that we provide that will have to be eliminated. For example, some of our prescriptions may have an annual dollar limit on them, and if those are deemed to be quote-unquote essential health benefits, those annual dollar limits may have to be removed as well. By October 1st of this year, we are going to be required to send to all employees a federally mandated notice that's called the Health Insurance Marketplace Coverage Notice. This notice notifies our employees of their right to elect coverage under one of the federal health insurance exchanges. The concern we have is up to this point, we really have not received any information about those federal health insurance exchanges, despite the fact that they are supposed to be in place by January 1 of next year. So we recognize that as we send that particular notice out, it may create some question and some confusion on the part of employees. So our plan would be to, in advance, give some education and along with the notice, let our employees know that we're sending them this notice to be technically compliant with the law, and that as additional information about those federal exchanges become available, we'll certainly pass that along to them. Specifically, in 2014, we are not anticipating any increases in premiums. Fortunately, the cost containment measures that we put in place 3 or 4 years ago are still giving us a good return, and we're not anticipating needing those premium increases. Likewise, the good news continues. Like we did last year, we are going to be providing our employees and retirees a premium holiday in December, with one caveat that the savings that they see as a result of that have to be spent all in Mesa. Kidding. Only kidding. We also want to update you on the initiative that we have made and the progress we've made so far with the Employee Health and Wellness Center initiative. Following an RFP that produced a number of interested vendors and inviting them back for presentations, we are currently in negotiations with a vendor who has been operating Employee Health and Wellness Center since 2007. And whose business plan and vision we believe closely aligns with our intended outcomes. We would like to come back to you in the not too distant future and provide you a very comprehensive overview of that program, including certain operational decisions, costs, who the recommended vendor is, and of course, that recommended location. Next, we're also going to be doing some research and analysis next year on the pros and cons of a possible tobacco surcharge for possible implementation for 2015. But again, we'd like to come back to you with those pros and cons and get your feedback and direction before we do so. New for 2014, we will be introducing a committed partner benefit. However, rather than a January effective date, we're looking at an April effective date, with a special enrollment period in March. The reason for the delay in that benefit is the additional education, communication, and outreach we need to provide to employees who may be anticipating this benefit, particularly with regard to the criteria that will be established for eligibility, as well as, perhaps more importantly, important individual tax implications that employees who elect this coverage will have to take into account. And since our open enrollment is less than 2 months away, we don't feel like we have sufficient time to be able to do that adequately and provide that kind of information. Speaking of the eligibility criteria, it will be in line with that is already in place with some of our other cities that provide that particular benefit. Employees will need to be in a committed relationship for at least 12 months or longer. An affidavit of that committed partnership will be required, along with verification of financial interdependency, which could be a mortgage statement, lease statement, utility bill, something that has the two names located on it. As I alluded to with the tax implications, per the IRS guidelines, the premium deductions for this benefit will be on a post-tax basis rather than a pre-tax basis, and the value of that coverage per the IRS guidelines will be considered individual imputed income and will have some tax consequences for the employee. Hence the need, we believe, to make sure that we provide sufficient education to the employee so that they make those appropriate considerations without facing tax liabilities that perhaps they otherwise didn't know they had. Next year, we're also going to be evaluating the pros and cons of moving from a two-tier rate structure to a four-tier rate structure. Again, like with the tobacco surcharge, we'd like to come back and share with you those findings and get some additional direction from you before implementing those in 15. Shortly, we'll also be submitting to you the draft plan document that will contain the changes that we anticipate we'll need in 15, including these health care regulation changes that we've all already talked about. But the plan document will also be recommending some much-needed enhancements in terms of our dental plan. For example, we will be recommending increases in the dental plan yearly maximum, reduced dental plan deductibles, and increasing the orthodontia benefit to cover all employees, not just those that are age 19 and below. Open enrollment for us this year begins October 21st through November 1st, and our benefits fair will be held on October 23rd at the Mesa Convention Center, as we have had in prior years. And with that, are there any questions we can answer?
Any questions? A lot going on.
Yes.
Okay. Look forward to seeing this roll out.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item. Hear presentation, discuss, and provide direction on proposed revisions to the zoning ordinance relating to tattoo parlors use permit requirements. I'm beyond excited for this one.
I appreciate the sentiment. Last spring, city staff asked the council to take a look at this item. And your direction to us was to go back and to determine if there's some more objective types of criteria that we could use in evaluating use permits related to tattoo parlors and body piercing salons. First thing I wanted to do is kind of go over real quick and kind of explain where the ordinance is at right now. Right now, if you want to do a tattoo and body piercing parlor somewhere in Mesa, you're required to have a council use permit. To do that, you need to be, in addition to the council use permit, the location of the council use permit has to be within a limited commercial, general commercial, mixed use, limited industrial, general industrial, downtown business one, downtown business two, or in a downtown core district. The location has to be 1,200 feet from another tattoo parlor. It has to be 1,200 feet also from a K through 12 school. Exceptions to the 1,200 foot rule can be adopted by city council upon a finding that there's some sort of significant intervening feature, like an arterial street, a park, a canal, or something that separates the neighborhoods for some reason. The criteria that the council would evaluate the use permit against is whether the location and the use is in compliance with the general plan and other recognized policies, including sub-area plans, that it has a plan of operation that shows that it's in compliance with zoning, building, and fire safety regulations, that they have a good neighbor policy that includes measures to ensure compatibility. We have contact information for the facility manager, that if there's some kind of complaint filed, there's a way that we can get a hold of that, what those procedures are, how they're going to resolve those complaints, also that they maintain and make sure the place is controlling litter. And in addition to that, we ask that they come into conformance with current requirements. That's a pretty much a standard requirement for any development when you're introducing a new use someplace. To talk about the proposed revisions.
Well, let me ask you, do we require good neighbor policies of any business?
There are other council use permits.
But let me get back to, let's bring the elephant right into the room. How many of these withstand the court decision that we had?
Well, Mayor, this is the first time we've been challenged. So we have the council use permit, which, as Gordon says, does include the good neighbor policy for certain types of use. The court said that, the Arizona Supreme Court said that the act of tattooing is protected by the First Amendment. So the court said, send it back to the trial court saying, okay, now evaluate it to see if Mesa's ordinance satisfies the standards, the reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions. So we haven't had a decision saying that our ordinance is not constitutional, but they did say, which had not been said before, that the act of tattooing is entitled to First Amendment protections. So there's a heightened standard. So we took a look at the ordinance, and our recommendation is that we go forward and we change the ordinance somewhat to ensure that we are in compliance. But this would only apply to tattoo businesses, since that is the only business that the Supreme Court addressed.
Okay, I mean, I guess I'm asking a general question on the existing requirements, and we'll get into what you're proposing. Are you proposing, it would seem to me that it would be counter to a protected class to require heightened requirements just on its face that we're not requiring others. So that's why I'm asking on this. So in your proposals going forward, and I know we can't get specific because there hasn't been a court, but I think there is a common sense thing here that it, since the Supreme Court did rule that this activity is protected as a First Amendment one, that as we look at this, have we looked at going forward, have we looked at the fact that we may or may not be able to exact additional requirements against a protected activity?
We are looking at it, and as you said, the ordinance hasn't been specifically addressed yet or drafted yet.
Well, by the courts, but I mean, I think we can pretty well
right
understand where it would head,
and we have
based on the Supreme Court direction.
Correct, and we are working with Gordon to make sure that we believe that the ordinance that will come before the council will meet the standards
okay
that the Supreme
all
Court
right
set out.
Okay.
And to maybe add a little bit to the answer to the question, there are other use permits in the zoning ordinance that require a good neighbor policy. This isn't the only one. For example, bars, commercial recreation facilities, other uses that may have an impact on a neighborhood that may need to be controlled and become the reason for having the conditional use permit in the first place.
Yeah, but bars haven't been determined by a court to be a protected
act,
constitutionally protected activity.
No, understood. But
and I mean, I guess that's, you know, that's the issue that we're in is that the manner in which any business does business, I think, should be the focus of what we do, which gets back into that good neighbor. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't care what they're doing. If they're littering, if they have loitering, if they have other issues, it doesn't matter to me whether they're tattoos or baseball cards or any kind of business. That's an issue. And I think by saying, well, this only applies to tattoo parlors, and if you run a baseball card shop, for example, I'm trying to think of the most innocuous activity there could be. I mean, you know, you can't hate baseball. And if we allow it, okay, I'm sorry. If a baseball card shop has loitering and litter, and we don't say that's bad, but a tattoo parlor has the same thing, we do say that bad, I don't see how that doesn't run headlong into the Supreme Court decision. And it would seem like if we're going to require a certain manner in doing business, it would have to apply to a business. I mean, so, and the reason I'm talking about now is if we're going to approach this, you know, it seemed like we would have to. We did this with massage parlors, for example. Rather than specifically say if you're a massage parlor, we talked about ways they do business. We talked about activities that would apply to nearly any business. It just so happened they were more prevalent in massage parlors, but it was a manner in doing business as opposed to what they were doing. And that's how we attacked that. Have we thought about using the same approach with tattoo? Or not? I know you're going to get to it. Before we get into it, I just want to know if that's the thought process you went into.
Yes, that is
okay.
What our
good. I'm just trying to put it in context so I understand where you're coming from. All right, gotcha.
Okay. To get into the proposal, we would require a special use permit in more commercially oriented districts, which would be the limited commercial, general commercial, downtown business 1, downtown business 2. We would remove it from the downtown core district. This is similar, for example, to what Phoenix has done in their downtown core. We would allow it by right in the limited industrial and general industrial districts. We would also maintain the 1,200-foot separation requirements. The effect of that basically assures that you would have no more than one on an arterial intersection corner, for example. The special use permit criteria, again, an operational plan and good neighbor policy. We would remove the compatibility standard as one of the criteria. We would add to the manager contact the response complaints and the littering, avoidance of littering. We would add discouraging unlawful loitering, avoiding providing tattoos and or body piercings to minors, avoid providing gang-related tattoos and or body piercings, and also avoid providing tattoos and or body piercings to intoxicated adults. In addition to the substantial conformance requirements with current development standards. So that would become the criteria for special use permits. Now, again, the distinction between a council use permit and a special use permit, council use permits go through the P&Z board. There's a recommendation. It's brought to council. Council makes the decision. Special use permits are either heard by the Board of Adjustment, one-step process, or they could be heard by the zoning administrator hearing officer as well.
Okay. Councilman Richens?
So under the special use permit criteria, the good neighbor policy, how is something like that monitored and enforced? Or should it be?
Well, it would probably be done and monitored and enforced through code compliance. If we would hear complaints against that, then the possibility would be that we would advertise for possible revocation of the special use permit. That's generally how those types of things are enforced. If the Board of Adjustment votes to remove the special use permit, then the use is no longer permitted.
So the same code officers that are monitoring tall weeds,
yes,
would be also... Okay.
The going back to the uses and where these would be permitted, this is a generalized zoning map of the city. The other thing that I should mention is that we would propose this to be a by right use in industrial districts. So there, rather than having to go through a public hearing process, the tattoo parlor operator would have the option of going straight to a location without a public hearing process.
I mean, getting back to special use, how do you, isn't avoid providing gang-related tattoos, isn't that content?
That is a potential challenge, Mayor. You are correct.
No, the question is that content? If you tell someone what they can't put in a tattoo, that seems content.
And that is a potential challenge because what is gang-related today may not be gang-related tomorrow.
Well, it seems to me like that's if you're talking First Amendment, which specifically prohibits content, prohibitions based on content, that seems like it's not a possible. And the reason I'm pointing this out is to try and indicate how hard it's going to be to set this up and yet get around the First Amendment thing. And I mean, we can go down there and invite one of the approaches we can take, because as you're going to get to another slide, it talks about what most cities in Arizona do, where there are, I think, very reasonable restrictions to this kind of business activity. But I got real questions to how far we can go without flying in the face of the Supreme Court.
And I think here I'm sorry.
No, go ahead and answer that.
I was going to say, it says avoid providing gang-related. So I think this is the good neighbor policy. We're going to ask them to participate. You know, the enforcement side of that might be more challenging.
Yeah, well, if I were in the late 60s, I would say don't wear it was offensive for people to wear a Captain America motorcycle hat. And so there were things saying you can't put a facsimile of the American flag on your helmet. That was offensive then. That also flew in the face of the First Amendment. Councilman Cavanaugh.
I agree with the mayor on the gang-related tattoo issue, because I think it has a depressive effect on free speech. And, look at the example a couple years ago when Arizona State University changed to its Fear the Fork thing. Well, the fork symbol that the stylized symbol that ASU adopted is a gang symbol in Chicago, and so it's I don't think we should go down that road, because regulating content, a lot of people like to do it, but there is a little matter of the Constitution that I think we should avoid further challenges on.
Councilman Richens?
I don't know. I'm just going to throw this out, because maybe the baseline of this discussion needs to be whether or not we're regulating this at all. You know, given the changes in the industry, given the trends, you know, I mean, every mom has a tattoo, you know, people that are getting piercing. I mean, it's just not as culturally abhorrent as it was in the past. So should we be regulating this activity at all? Should we just, I don't see a flood of tattoo and piercing shops coming to Mesa. You know, why don't we tax it instead? let it come and tax, I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out as maybe a place that we start and then build from there.
Well, I guess my thought of going back to the baseball card, I'm offended if a yogurt shop has loitering and litter and loud music and signs, and it doesn't matter what they're doing. I mean, that to me is what we should be focusing on, not what goes in behind the doors. You know, if there was a, and we talked about this with massage parlors. You know, there's a lot of chiropractors and and physical therapists that provide therapeutic massage services in their building, and you'd never know it, and you don't care because it's a professional, operating in a professional way, as opposed to the, you know, the stereotypical Asian massage that has the darked out windows and the neon signs and everything, which is offensive. It's well, to a point, the same activity.
Well, there's a, I mean, one is.
But how they do business is.
Yeah, one has a criminal activity associated with it in prostitution. The other one does not.
And
if there's a criminal activity associated with tattooing, and then that's the thing that we should be regulating for, is to make sure criminal activity doesn't occur in the middle of our neighborhoods in one of these businesses.
And as we approach the massage, what we found from the police is that they could pretty much tell when there was criminal activity by the way the business did business. And, you know, it wasn't what actually went on, but they could say, if a business location is doing this, we can pretty much tell you there's probably criminal activity going on there. And so we focused on the way they did business as opposed to what they were doing. And, you know, the police have reported to us, it's made it much easier for them to control that activity through the manner in which they do business as opposed to what they were doing. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And so, you know, I tend to agree with Councilmember Richens that, you know, I think we ought to rethink real hard as to whether we want to get in this and invite other things. I think the Supreme Court, and I don't agree with them on it, but they made the decision. But they made it very difficult for us to put anything beyond basic land use and zoning type restrictions on this activity. Councilor Summers.
Just as a reminder, is tattoo artist licensed or certified by the state?
No, they're not.
So there's no licensure at all at the state? Okay. And massage does?
Are regulated.
Massage is regulated, but they're not regulated. So there's no way to regulate out people that have had bad behavior in the past?
Not currently, no.
I think the problem is define bad behavior. That's I think where we're struggling, because we used to define it by, oh, you put gang-related tattoos on, and I don't think we could do that anymore. Yeah. That's Richens.
Yeah, to me, the issue is really a health and safety-related one. You know, are they using clean needles, safe approaches? So if we're going to do that, I would rather have health and safety regulations and make sure that anybody who goes to one of these places is safe. Than necessarily going the other way. I just don't see a flood of these shops coming. The ones that haven't had huge negative impacts on the neighborhood. They just haven't. And, you know, I'm a neighborhood guy, and I've looked into the fear of that coming as much as anybody. And the truth and the reality of it is these shops are pretty benign. You know, so for me, if they're selling jewelry in there, that's a taxable activity. And if they're, and which is good, and if they're good with their neighbors in their commercial center, I don't know why that we should have a problem with it. And on the other hand, though, I really want to make sure that if, you know, one of my kids went and got her ears pierced there, that they could do it, that I know that they're going to be safe. So, you know, I would really call on the state to have some kind of licensure over these things, like people that cut hair, you know, that to make sure that those kind of things are clean when they operate them. But that's my two cents.
Yes, Mayor.
With regard to the zoning map in that industrial area, so in the downtown it shows kind of a lighter blue, and I think that has a TC designation, right? Is that what we're using?
That's why we pulled out the next slide, shows the downtown zoning map. There's some limitations in how we display these things. In the downtown district, there's similar colors to industrial. It's a separate zoning map. The downtown core is not an industrial district. It's an urban district. And so we would be the proposal would be to remove it from the downtown core, but we would authorize it in the other downtown commercial districts, DB1 and DB2.
Hmm. Okay. Councilor Summers, you had something else?
No. Other than to say I like Council Member Richens' idea of taking a health and safety approach to any reasonable regulation. I think that doesn't touch on land use as much as it would really address the issues, the concerns that many people have about how the businesses are operating. I think that would be an interesting, probably the best approach.
Donna.
Mayor, if I might just respond to Councilmember Summers' question, we can certainly look into what kind of jurisdiction we would have, but primarily the county has jurisdiction over, the county and the state have jurisdiction over health issues, but we can certainly look if there's any place that we can.
What is
it's dormant.
Is there any county standard at all related to how this activity goes on?
The only thing I'm aware of, Mayor, is there is a state statute dealing with the cleanliness of the needles used in the tattoo shops.
So we could attach to that, and could we attach to that and state that compliance with any applicable, I mean, I guess what we could do is have an umbrella approach, which is any time that they're out of compliance with, well, let me back up. In order to be in compliance with our zoning and special use, they would have to be in compliance with any applicable county or state health regulation.
Or maybe we move it into, and I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head here, so we'd have to take a look at it. We move this into the health and safety provision of the code, similar to massage, and we see, okay, what type of regulations can we impose for tattoo shops similar to, again, getting to the operations, similar to what we've done with the massage entities.
Yeah, Mayor, and to follow up on that, we I think we do have a health and safety code. We don't use it as much as we used to, but I think this might be a good place for it. And if you tag that health and safety with SEPTED principles, you might have the makings of a pretty decent ordinance that would meet the requirements of the Supreme Court.
We can go ahead and look at that.
Councilor Kavanaugh?
My thinking has evolved on this over the years. And really, at this point, I'm in agreement with Councilmember Ridgens. I don't think we should subject the tattoo parlors to any special use permit process. I think the risk is a chilling effect on protected activity, and we should focus on treating them like any other business, and just make sure that they, as with any other business, that they run in a safe manner that's not deleterious to their neighboring businesses or their patrons or to the public. I think Mr. Richens really had it right in terms of the evolution of the operations. We still have, I mean, there are certainly many in the community that still have cultural perceptions of tattoo parlors and the negative perceptions, but we can have other kinds of businesses that are bad neighbors to the other businesses in their center or wherever they're at. But I think that's where I'm coming from. At this point, I've thought about it long and hard, looking at the court decision, what we went through, the discussions we went through, the gyrations that communities go through when there are special use permit for uses that we don't like. And what we don't like changes over time as society moves on, and this is one of those areas. So I agree with Mr. Richens.
Well, let me ask you, I have not, and maybe the police department could tell us, is there any disproportionate criminal activity related to tattoo parlors?
I think that's the next.
Is that the next?
There's a slide somewhere.
Oh, I quit with the...
We asked the...
Sorry, I quit with the questions.
Well, we put the slide in just in case the question came up. We asked the police department to take a look at the calls for service related to the 9 tattoo and body piercing salons that are in the city. Based on this, there's an average of 1 call per service over the last year per location. So it's not having a...
Well, that's the average.
The
really one outlier.
Actually, yeah, you have you have half of them which have had no calls.
Correct.
In a whole year. And the most calls was 3, so 1 every 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's high activity for calls in Mesa, I think we're doing pretty well in our overall crime thing. And I think if you put something like a massage parlor, my guess is that it would be somewhat different than this.
We didn't ask the question.
I'm having the police officers in the back go, yeah. I mean, I know that the calls we get when a new, I would say, undesirable business operation in the massage parlor, I get a heck of a lot more calls from constituents than this, because it's, okay.
Yeah, I'd just be really wary of this. One, it's a one-year period of time. Two, I don't know what kind of calls those are. And three, if you're harboring criminal activity, you're not calling the police. So, I mean, that's all speculative, but I would...
But your neighbors would be.
I would be taking...
I mean, that's the main thing. It's not that you don't call...
If you knew about it.
If you don't know about it, I guess it's a circular argument.
Then it's the kind of business that we want to have, because we don't know about
it. If you don't know about it, then how's
the criminal activity?
I mean, if your neighbor's involved in something...
You can do whatever as long as we don't know about it.
Statistics tell a lot of stories, so...
I mean, on the other hand, you know, I tend to be leaning toward, from the very beginning, regulating conduct of business as opposed to type business.
Sure.
On the other hand, I'm a little leery that to take down all barriers, all of a sudden you invite the unscrupulous in, and then you've got a real problem. So I personally would like to see some happy medium where we take the approach that we've taken, like with other businesses, where we deal with, you know, good neighbor, but not content, not from a tattoo parlor standpoint, but from a regular business standpoint. We assume that this has the propensity to maybe attract, so we just have some common sense things, like the loitering, like the things. If there is a number of calls, that maybe it would call this a permit into question. But the permit be easy to get. It'd be an administrative matter. It'd be something that simply sets a standard that hopefully attracts good business operators and not lousy business operators.
Well, and I think Councilmember Summers was on that track when he talked about the
health and safety
piece
and the crime prevention. And SEPTED.
Right. But, all the rest of the special use permit stuff. I mean,
that way, yeah, it's an objective standard. It's a special use permit, so it doesn't tie up. You know, it's basically a staff function. If you meet the objective standards, it's a staff function. If you don't meet the objective standards, which means I think you're an unscrupulous business person by the fact that you don't operate a healthy business, you don't care about your neighbors, you don't do this, we do have an enforcement lever that we can bring down. Is that
it's like, what I'm hearing? Convenience stores were kind of the same approach.
Sorry, what?
Convenience stores were kind of the same approach.
Yeah. So,
and I think it's your point, Mayor, that we want good businesses, no matter what kind of business they are, and we've applied the SEPTED to other businesses. We could apply it here, and if we find that this works, we can expand that out as necessary.
I hear a couple of different things going on, so maybe if I can summarize a little bit what I'm listening to, and you folks tell me if I'm hearing the right thing. I'm going back to the special use permit criteria. First, I hear two options. One is a zoning option where there would be a special use permit review. The second option would be a license option where somehow the city would develop a city license that would use similar type of criteria. They would basically just take out the gang-related tattoos that we've shown in the special use permit. If we use a special use permit criteria, again, we take out the gang-related tattoos, but in its place we insert health and safety, tying it back to the state regulation. That's a zoning, so we could do the zoning option, replace gang-related tattoos, insert the health and safety compliance with the state regulation, or possibly a license option where we basically license using the same thing. That's what I hear the two options being. And so,
or you could have it apply both ways.
True.
And that way what you could do is you could keep things, And I don't know that, the 1,200-foot separation is not something that I believe is necessarily effective, but it's perceived as being effective. I mean, the one thing you hear, especially now with recent, title loan centers, is, what happened to the 1,200-foot separation? Because now we're starting to have some of these two and three show up on an intersection. Well, fortunately, title loans are not covered by – they're not payday loans, so they're not covered by – a lot of our standards. I don't know whether it matters whether if you're offended by title loans whether they're 10 feet apart or 1,201 feet apart, I don't know that it really matters. And if the facility is a clean, well-presented facility, I don't know that it matters unless there's something that we really hate about that business, that process, which was the case with payday loans, and the state legislature took care of that. With tattoos, does it really matter whether there's two right next to each other or that they're 1,201 feet apart? Some people, that is a big deal.
Yeah, I want to comment on that, because separation requirements are really about providing a good, healthy variety of businesses within a commercial strip center or within, you know, the corners. To have the same type, three of the same type of business, is doesn't do a service to the neighborhood, particularly if those businesses don't generate sales tax revenue and are in our commercial districts where we specifically set aside zoning to generate sales tax revenue.
And they tend to perhaps stifle other businesses from
right,
coming in.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of been the problem
that's
with some
I'm
of these businesses.
I don't know that how you... I'm sorry, I stepped on you.
Oh,
I
you're
apologize.
Fine, you're fine. You're fine. We're talking.
I'm sorry. So that's maybe where you have it both as a license and a zoning, because a 1,200 foot would have to be through a zoning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's more of a location. That's a place as opposed to an activity.
Yes.
So that would be through a zoning...
Another possible solution is Mesa's never had a business license, and I really think that through a business license rubric, you could solve a lot of these other problems, that if you'd let people go through a business license process, that you could have categories where you have these things and let that reside in there. And it's been ridiculous that we haven't had a business license in Mesa. It's standard in just about every city you go to, and you can handle a lot of this stuff within that as you apply for your business license over the counter. It also gives us a great way to gather statistics on all these things. But anyway.
Either that or we just call the NSA, and they have it. So which one are you pushing, the business license approach or the zoning? Because if now I'm hearing two things. Because if you don't want to cluster, then you got to go the zoning route as far as and maintain the things like the 1,200 foot separation.
Well, you could do that within a business license too. Yeah. That when somebody applies for a license, you see, hey, no, you're too close to another business that's like that already. We want more variety and separation.
Without trying to get too complicated, the other option under zoning would be to remove the special use permit requirement, make it just a by right condition. We still monitor the 1,200 foot separation requirement. We can do that through zoning.
It's by right, except for here's the restrictions, and you're by right as long as you're 1,201 plus
yeah,
feet
I mean,
apart.
We already monitor a map like that, for example, for group homes. They are required to have 1,200 feet, but they're a by right option.
Okay.
So we maintain a map for that. We could do the same thing with tattoo parlors. We maintain a map for it. You come in, you basically say, can I locate here? We say, yes, you can. And then they go off and they can get a license if that's the wish of the council.
Isn't that easier? Similar to a use permit, except for it's called a license instead of a use permit?
Yeah, but it's over the counter.
Okay.
It's a shorter process.
Yeah, it's right. I got you. Good. Vice Mayor?
Well, just a quick observation with regard to the 1,200-foot rule. That's been somewhat court-tested in some cases like group homes and others, right? We're basing that on what some court decisions back east and down south, right? And so we've tried to stay pretty close to that 1,200-foot rule.
Typically, yes.
Typically. And although, you know, we've had many discussions on it, it seems like a good plan not to have an over-concentration in certain areas of certain things. So, okay.
But Councilmember Pinter, if I might, I'm sorry, Vice Mayor Pinter, that specific issue was not addressed in Coleman. In fact, the court specifically said the parties have not raised that issue. So the court didn't weigh in one way or another in the Coleman decision on the 1,200-foot separation.
Right. And I was just using that kind of as a basis that we use in other parts of the city, other types of group homes and things. And it seems like a pretty solid rule that's held its ground, at least for these years.
Councilman Kavanaugh?
Well, I guess you're going to be shocked, but I'm kind of like the free market guy here this morning. And I really think that, I guess I could support the 1,200-foot requirement, as Gordon talked about, as the other option. But even that, I think you have to have a rational basis for the separation. And I think that creates a chilling effect on a protected right. And so I really just simply don't think this is going to be an issue as we move forward in time, as long as the businesses are good neighbors and they – They hopefully their landlords will ensure that they operate in a good manner as well. So that's at least where I have moved to on this.
Just a remind, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but
you are.
The even protected rights can be regulated.
Can be regulated
through time, place, and manner, just as long as
have a reason for it.
Right. Yes. So, but and the question comes down to is avoiding an overconcentration of this particular use.
But you have, I think you have to show why is a concentration of that use bad.
Not only that, why is the concentration of that use as opposed to a concentration of baseball card stores?
Sure.
And I think that's where the First Amendment thing really provides us an issue, because if we can't show why, well, are we gonna apply this same, unless there's some data otherwise, and you look at police calls and you look at other things, and I think we're really stretching to see if you can differentiate between this business and most other normal businesses. You know, I agree with Councilman Summers. 1 year is, I wouldn't hang my hat on 1 year, but my guess is if you went down over the last 5 years, you probably wouldn't see a whole lot of difference. And from a statistical standpoint, it doesn't seem like it is with pawn shops and massage parlors, where the numbers are significantly higher and they're significantly different from other types of business. And we know that when, for example, with pawn shops, if there's not regulation, we have statistics that show that it invites criminal activity. I'm not sure we have that data here, like Councilman Kavanaugh is saying, with tattoo parlors. And in that case, I think it would be a jump to all of a sudden group those in.
Mayor, if I might suggest, it sounds like the council would prefer to try to regulate this through health and safety as opposed to land use. So we will go back with that direction. I guess the one question I would have is, do you want to provide direction on what land use districts or zoning areas you would want to say this is a matter of right? For example, not in residential, not in the downtown core, or is there anything direction you want to provide with regard to that?
Code already doesn't allow businesses to be operated in a residential district.
So we'll just treat them as any other business, like the baseball cards.
Well, yeah, and I think this is where the court didn't think through like courts often do. You know, once again, a person can operate their art, like an artist can have an art studio in their garage in a residential area, and that's absolutely appropriate. The artist allows people to pull up, park, and he opens a studio where he's selling his or her art, then I think that jumps over from expression into commerce. And the question is that at this, to me, if we treat a tattoo just like we would any other expression such as art, you can write music all you want in your living room, on your piano. The second you want to sell that music, then that's a business. It would seem to me that we should take the same approach with this. Does that sound?
Well, yeah, and that's already in our code. I don't think we need special language for that.
So
we already forbid business activities in residential.
My understanding is if we get the correct direction today, we would prepare a draft ordinance and present that to the Planning and Zoning Board, which would come back to you for possible adoption, an amendment of the zoning ordinance. So to make sure that I'm clear on this, rather than requiring a special use permit, the direction the council is giving us is to remove the special use permit, or the council use permit requirement, which is the current requirement. Remove that, make it a by right use in limited commercial, general commercial, mixed use, downtown business 1, downtown business 2, the limited industrial and the general industrial districts. I'm not sure if we've discussed this or not, but we go ahead and remove it from downtown core.
I don't see why you couldn't allow it to happen in downtown core.
Go ahead and allow it in downtown core. Okay.
Business.
Why would we forbid it out of one little strip of the city?
For example, it has been removed from downtown cores and in neighboring cities.
Vice Mayor?
You know, what's interesting, I'm listening to this. This morning has been really interesting. So we are doing this huge monumental swing back. I remember when we first got on council and over concentration of tattoo parlors and pawn shops and downtowns, and people were fighting to stop that. And I'm just sitting here dumbfounded. But if we're leaning towards, hey, you know, throw them back in wherever, you know, I just think there's going to be some probably blowback by the community.
No, I appreciate your comment, but you have to look at where we've been and then what we've done since then, and that's called form-based code. So when we put the form-based code, it evolved everything. And this is a natural evolution.
In your way of thinking.
In the regulatory scheme that you adopted.
Well, here's the reality. The reason we're sitting here today is because we have a Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, that part.
Okay, that's a minor little detail. Without the Supreme Court decision, we're not having this discussion. We deny the Colemans their deal, and we go on with life. We have a Supreme Court decision. We're trying to, and actually, I think this process is good because I'm very much a free market with rational regulation, and I think the problem we had with tattoo parlors is that it was purely a subjective. We object to this activity, and neighborhoods object to that activity. Now, those objections may have been based on data, although we didn't really see any, but it was mainly based on perception and maybe some anecdotal stories about how this tattoo parlor does tend to attract biker gangs, things like that. So it wasn't totally superfluous. But the fact is that we now have a Supreme Court decision which states that this is a protected activity, which means we need to be very careful. And things like telling someone in tattoo business you can't put gang things, I don't think is a questionable. I just flat out think you can't do that. That's content. Mm-hmm. And I think what the Supreme Court said is that you can't tell an artist what they can put on their palette. You just can't do it.
Quick question. So how about medical marijuana dispensaries? We have these CHAWs. I'm dealing with it now in District 2. You know, we're looking kind of at this globally on regulatory agencies. Why not adopt these? I know there's state rules and laws, but, you know, if we're going to start figuring out a whole different way of doing things and where we could. I just don't know if there's a consistent logic. You know, we're saying we do have the court ruling, I understand completely, and all that we've been through with that, but we're kind of looking bigger at bigger zoning issues and medical marijuana dispensaries and grow facilities, and I've heard a lot of strong opinions on here, there, nowhere, you know, those kind of things. So industrial settings, and I'm just trying to figure out how this all fits together if we're kind of rethinking our whole philosophy about our regulatory approach to things.
I don't believe we are, because I don't think anyone up here, if you were talking to us about pawn shops, I don't get the sense that this council would say, yeah, let's completely make it a free market thing on pawn shops. Because I think it's a different, once again, there is hard data that connects that activity with undesirable outcomes, and therefore rational regulation is absolutely necessary and acceptable to that. I think our problem here is we have a Supreme Court, and I think one of the reasons why the Supreme Court ruled like it ruled is that nobody could present something that said that this activity was, that there was hard data that said this activity was on its face objectionable for anything other than perception, culture, whatever you want to say. And therefore, it was a protected way of expression. And people were offended by that way of expression, which is why the Supreme Court said, no, you can't deny something simply because you're offended by the manner of expression. That's a First Amendment deal. Now, you can go back and, once again, place, and I think it's important that even though it wasn't raised, that the Supreme Court did not address that because they recognize that, just like artist studios and other things, there are places that are appropriate for that, places that aren't. You just can't say that particular activity has special rules that a baseball card shop doesn't. I think that's the only way we're rethinking it.
Right, and the common thread to me is criminal activity. You know, we're not seeing a huge amount of evidence of criminal activity at pawn and piercing shops, but you do, tattoo and piercing shops. You do at pawn shops, people sell stolen goods. The medical marijuana, last time I checked, is still illegal according to federal law. So, you know, for me, there's a criminal element that is associated with those activities.
Well, there's a statewide regulatory scheme that was enacted also.
Right, so those kind of things. And massage parlors, again, criminal activity associated with those things, reasonable expectation for regulation to be there.
So, basically...
Well, I think you were on the line. Use zoning with a special use permit, or no, by right.
By right.
Define what the by right is. and it would follow normal commercial. But there would also be, and whether this is best accomplished through a zoning or through some licensing scheme, I think that if what I'm hearing, I didn't hear any objections to what Councilmember Summers brought up as far as the health and safety. I don't think I hear that we want to go full bore into this and not allow some way to claw back if, for example, we open the gates and we find out that these statistics change considerably when you throw it open to the free market. So there are some health and safety concerns. And then it gets back to what we did with other businesses as far as just ways to operate the business. I would like to say that landlords regulate things, but they don't. Landlords collect rent. Sure. And there's good landlords and there's bad landlords. That's why, you know, we have slumlords in residential. And we recognize that those kind of landlords damage a community, and there's landlords that will take any type of business, look the other way as long as they get a rent check every month. There's other landlords that are very good, and they recognize the value of having good tenants in their space, and they do regulate it. I think we need, as a city, need to come in and protect the community from those activities that damage the community. And that has nothing to do with what they say on a tattoo as much as it does how that tattoo business conducts its business. And that is a health and safety issue, but it's also a, if all of a sudden we do get loitering, we do get a just like a bar, we get a bunch of biker gangs come in there and they ruin the entire neighborhood, we have a way that we can say, wait, this is not an appropriate way of doing business. Doesn't matter what you're doing it is wrong, and it impacts neighbors and neighborhoods. Vice Mayor?
I just wanted to clarify that some people might be taking incorrectly what I'm saying. I remember I was on P&Z, and Gordon knows this, about 10, 15 years ago. And as a P&Z, we would approve tattoo parlors, and we would scrutinize them. I mean, they look like medical facilities. Send them up to council, and they'd be slammed down, voted against. There'd be a lot of chastising. How can you do this? So I just thought it was ironic to kind of go through this cycle and see how things are moving. But the court really, you know, set some, you know, parameters and sent a message. So it's just kind of interesting to see how some of this is changing over the years. So.
Okay. So I'm
I've heard that the majority of those councilmen voted against it actually have tattoos underneath there.
Okay. Forgive me. One more time, I'm going to summarize. So, okay, it becomes tattoo and body piercing lines become a by right use in the limited commercial, general commercial, mixed use, downtown business 1 and 2, and downtown core, limited industrial, and general industrial. We remove the 1,200-foot requirements and the good neighbor policy and those things. And we bring concurrent a license to monitor health and safety.
Is it the majority of the council want to remove the 1,200? You want to leave it in there for right now? Remove it or leave it?
I would like to leave it personally.
Leave it. Councilman Glover, leave it. Remove it. Remove it. Remove it. Okay, I think it's a majority. Remove it.
Okay, and then the license.
Well, I would say leave it for right now, but go ahead and remove it.
And so basically we're downgrading it to, it's basically going to be regulated by zoning fairly similar to the way we would do a retail shop. And then, but with that, we would bring a concurrent health and safety regulation that may involve license for a tattoo parlor. Am I hearing that correctly?
Question.
Yeah, Vice Mayor.
So how would we just license that one industry, that one business, and not do everybody?
We don't have a business.
Yeah, we don't have a business license.
But we have licenses for example, we have pawn licenses, we have tax, we have secondhand
massage parlor licenses.
Massage parlor licenses.
Mayor,
tax individual business.
Do we call it a license, or what do we call it?
Well, what I might suggest is let us go back and see what kind of health and safety regulations we can impose, and then what is the best method for doing it. We'll bring with you the options.
Yeah, and once again, when you look at it, I'm not sure we're saying what you can impose. We're not tasked with enforcing health and safety, but we do have a problem when there are businesses who don't follow the established health and safety at the county and state level. So I think what we're saying is the right to conduct this business is contingent upon the business owner's adherence to applicable county and state health and safety ordinances. Is that what I've heard?
Okay. So we will look at that and look
so
at
somehow,
the method of accomplishing
that. Let's put it this
that.
Way. Rather than deciding how we do that, if there's a tattoo, if there's a bad operator in the tattoo parlor, and let's say that they're found that they are not following the state laws, we as a city have a right to pull their ability to do business, whether that be through zoning or licensing. I don't know. You guys figure that out and come back with the best idea. I think that's what I'm hearing that we want.
Sure.
There are base minimums we want, and we just want to be able to have some enforcement action against that business.
Mayor, also the SEPTED principles?
And SEPTED, which would follow along with the health and safety. So it's somewhat similar. It's a mix between the convenience store and the massage parlor, recognizing the limitations we have because of the First Amendment thing. So it goes purely to an objective, how you conduct business as opposed to what you're doing. And then come back to us and figure out what would be the best way to actually implement that.
Just from a directional standpoint, it would be okay to present the zoning side of this to P&Z, at least have that prepared before we come back to you, but have their recommendation at least on the P&Z side of this.
Well, I don't know, because you may get together and figure out that the P&Z is the best way to accomplish the goal the zoning is the best way to accomplish the goal I just said. If that's the case, then you need to come back here and see if that's okay. The route we want to take.
All right.
And if you come back to us and say, based on the objective nature of the regulation that you charged us to go find, we would suggest we go down the zoning route, then we would say either agree or not. Then you go to P&Z with the proposed ordinance.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. Your reports on meetings and conferences attended. Any reports? Mr. Brady.
Just a reminder, Monday, the 26th, there will be a public safety committee meeting at 3:30. Next study session will be Monday, August 22nd. Also, there is a Friends of Transit mixer for the Central Mesa Light Rail Extension, which will be next week from today, a week from today. I'll go for you. So 4:30 to 7 is when they're having that. And then there will be the study session for the 29th has been canceled. And so the following study session will be the September 5th.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Entertain a motion to go into executive session. Have Councilmember Summers, second by Councilmember Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are now moving into executive session. Thank you.